for the new year, a very important message from God that Acts chapter 4 of a message from the Lord that I believe God has put upon my heart, as you've already prayed, Dave prayed, that you would hear it, take it. I'm too high, turn me down, please. Turn me down a little bit more, right there, a little bit more. And I hear a ringing, a little more, turn me down, please. You turning me down? Are you? Okay, I just don't want to be yelling people's ears off. Acts chapter 4, are you all there? The book of Acts is exactly what it says, the Acts of the Apostles. What the apostles did after Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven. And after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was given, that what that did is empowered the church. The church is the body of Christ, the believers of Christ. The church was being formed as Christ was on this earth, just like God in the beginning when he was forming Adam. Adam wasn't completely formed yet. Adam wasn't completely alive yet until God blew his breath into the nostrils of Adam. And then he became a living soul. Jesus Christ, when he resurrected from the dead, he blew upon his disciples. And that's when they became a living soul. But it wasn't until when they became a real church, a body. But that wasn't when they were empowered by the power of God. That was on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit of God came upon them and empowered the church. The church is useless without power. Amen. Just like anything, the lights go out, the power is off, you can't do much. You might still be a this, you might still be a that, but without any power, you can't get anything accomplished. Amen. And so the power of the Holy Spirit, it was given to the book of Acts to the early church through the apostles by God himself. Here, what we're going to talk about this morning is very, very important, because we're going to talk about a person. A person who wasn't numbered with the 11, with the 12. A person who, matter of fact, let's look right down at it. In Acts chapter 4, look in verse 36 with me, and we'll read and explain it ourselves. Verse 36 in Acts 4 says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas." Joseph is a name for Joseph. His name was Joe. And I entitled the message, "A Regular Joe." And I know this is being recorded, but Brian, I just looked on the website, and the last four messages, I don't know where you got those titles from or who got the titles, or nothing I ever picked. I don't have a clue what they are. But somebody's picking titles on the messages, and they don't even match the message. So I don't know who is doing it. But if you don't know the title of the message, ask me, and I'll tell you before you put it up on the internet. I just looked. I'm like, what are these four messages? This is called "A Regular Joe," just so you know. A regular Joe. When I think about a regular Joe, what do you think about? I think about just regular old person like me and you. That's what it's all about. It's not about the Apostle Peter and James and John, the sons of thunder, and all these amazing things that they did. It's about just me and you. That's what the church is. The church is just about me and you. I don't know about you, but I don't see Apostle Paul coming in here. I don't see Jesus Christ himself teaching on the steps like he did then. I don't see the early church fathers. I don't see Dwight L. Moody. I don't see all these big names. What I see is me and you. And me and you are just regular Joes. But what a regular Joe can do is what this message is about. What Barnabas did is incredible. It's unbelievable what he did and accomplished. We're going to look at that today. Let's read that verse. Verse 36, it says, "And Joseph, who was by the apostles surnamed Barnabas," look at this, "the apostles named him this," it says, "which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet." First thing I want you to see about Barnabas is that he's just a regular Joe. He was no one special. But I do believe that he was one of the 70 when Jesus sent him out. He was one of the 70 that came with him. But this is the thing, is one thing that Barnabas is, he's always the first one mentioned. He, in the whole book of Acts, you'll find that he's the first one there. And what you'll find about here, he was the first one to start a new kind of a trend in the church. He went and he had some land, and he went and he sold the land, and he brought all the money that he got from the land, and he put it at the apostles' feet and says, do with it whatever God seems to fit. And all of a sudden, everyone else was like, that's a great idea. And they started going and selling their lands and their extra houses and their shore homes and whatever it is that they had that, you know, wasn't just, they didn't go and sell their own house and were homeless. Trust me, that didn't happen. What it is they would have lands and they'd have homes, and they went and they sold it and they took the money and they put it at the apostles' feet. And that's how the church got started. That's how the church got power. That's how the church got money. That's how the church got authority. And later on, you read in the book of Acts, it says, and all people had all things common. That means anyone who had a need, that money met that need in the church. The money for the church, and this is totally separate, people during around Christmas time, as a pastor, you don't believe how many phone calls I get for money. People have no idea who they are. Can you pay my electric bill? I'm sorry, what's your name? So-and-so, my name's this. I said, well, listen, you know, why is your electric bill? Oh, I haven't been working. I haven't done this. And can you? I need money for my electric bill. I'm like, well, that's nice. I need mine for mine, too. But how about this? That's all time. So how about this? Why don't you come to church this Wednesday night and I'll meet you? No, I just want the money for the electric bill. And they get mad at you. They won't even come to church. Well, guess what? The church isn't here to pay people's electric bills. The church is here for church members who love the Lord, serve the Lord, pay their money to the Lord, and when they have a need and the church can supply their need to them, they'll do that. But in all reality, the church is not here to pay people's electric bills. And it's not here to give people money. But the great thing about it is that the church will help its own. Barnabas, he started this. But what I want you to see is that how did he get his name? His name was just Joe. He was just plain old Joe. But there was something unique about this Joe that just the apostles, Peter, James, John, Matthew, all of those guys, they were all there and they were endowed with power. And they saw this guy, Joe. And he kept doing things and saying things. And you know what he did? He encouraged them. This man, his name was Joe, encouraged the apostles so much that they all agreed, we got to change this guy's name. He can't be just regular Joe. Let's call him Barnabas, which means he's the son of consolation. What does consolation mean? You know what Jesus is called? The son of God. That means he's represents God. You know, when you say you are the son of, that means you are a representation of your father and of your family. That's why whoever you are, you have a responsibility to not bring shame on your family. Amen? You don't go out there and acting like a knucklehead because it brings shame to the rest of your family. Just like he was called the son of consolation. And what does consolation mean? It means comfort. Please listen. Dictionary. It means comfort received after a loss or a disappointment. There's a lot of disappointments. Okay, in life. There's a lot of tragedy in life, but the apostles at this time, Stephen is ready to be killed. Peter and John were thrown into prison. They were hiding in rooms and cellars and basements. The Roman soldiers were after them and the Jews were after them. Here, our Savior is gone. They were endowed with power, yes. But you know what? Because they were the leaders of the whole movement of the world that changed the whole world, they would get discouraged. And the devil would be after them. And listen to me. You know where the devil works at the most? At the leaders. And the leader in the home gets it the most? The leader of the countries get it the most. The leader of the schools get it the most. And the leaders of the church get it the absolute most. And pastors and apostles and preachers, the devil is all over them. But guess what? They had Barnabas. And Barnabas would come in and he would encourage them. Come on, guys, it's all right. Don't worry, we got Jesus, man. It's all going to work out. Hallelujah. Don't worry, we got the power of God. God's going to do it. And all of a sudden, these guys who were a little discouraged started, yeah, I like this guy, Joe. Yeah, Joe, where you been? And all of a sudden, they wanted Joe. Everywhere they went, they wanted Joe. And they literally changed his name to, you're Barnabas now. You are the son of consolation. What you do, what consolation means, it means edification. He was an edifier. He was a person that comforted people in times of trouble. He never had a bad thought. He never had a bad thing to say. He was one who always encouraged people. I don't know about you, but I need encouragement. And so do you. It means sympathy. It means compassion. It means pity. It means help. It means a supporter, an encourager. That's what he was. He was an encourager, a comforter. In the Hebrew, it means Naham. But in the Greek, check this out, you Bible scholars. In the Greek, it means paracleto. which means the same name as the Comforter of the Holy Ghost. He was the Son of the Holy Ghost. Son of Comfort. The Son of the Comforter. He was the Son of an Encourager. Do you know what Paraclete means? It means one who comes alongside. It means the Holy Spirit of God is sent to us to help us, to encourage us, to give us an anointing, to help, to be there for us when we're down. To be there for us when we're up. To be there for us when we're weak. To be there for us when we're troubled. To be there, to be there, to be there. The comfort of the Holy Spirit says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be there for you. That is the greatest gift that being a Christian is. We don't have what other people have. We have God with us all the time. And he's there to uplift us and hold us. And that's what they named Barnabas, the Son of Consolation, the Paraclete. Think about that. To give him that name, that I didn't name him that. The apostles named him that. And so that means that this man encouraged the apostles so much that the apostles were now able to do so much more. Think of what the apostles did. They changed the world. Amen? You know why? Because they had Barnabas. They had Barnabas there to cheer them up every time they got down. Comfort received. Help. Getting strength and comfort. I truly believe this is what we need in 2016. We need encouragement. We need to encourage one another. We need encouragement. I need encouragement. I'm here to tell you, I'm preaching this message about encouragement. In Sunday school, nobody's here. I was like, I can't even tell you how the devil just gets on you. I can't. And then Sunday morning, I'm looking, and I'll tell you, we were talking about this over dinner on New Year's Day with other friends, and the thing that gets you down is empty seats. You know what he told me? He said, yeah, you know what preachers do? They start taking seats out to make it look more smaller so people are closing. Empty seats, man, I hate empty seats. Hate them. They're like my enemy. You know what I mean? Because if it's an empty seat, that means someone's not there where they're supposed to be. And that means that they are close to falling away. That means the devil, they're following the devil. That means they're not following God. They're not encouraged, and they need encouragement. Amen? And you know what? Guess who's going to encourage them? You are, because you sit next to them. But guess who's going to encourage you? I am. Amen. I'm going to try, but who's going to encourage me? And that's what the devil works. We need encouragement. We got to encourage one another. Let's find out a little bit more about Barnabas, this regular Joe. Please listen to me. Who did more for the church. Listen to what I'm about to say. Barnabas did more for the church, more for Christianity than anyone else in the whole New Testament. Barnabas, one, the first thing he did is he comforted and he edified the apostles. It was they who named him. They were the leaders, and I'm here to tell you the leaders need encouragement more than anyone else. I need encouragement. I don't know why people think that you don't need encouragement. I remember being in Bible college. I remember being sitting in the pews, and I remember my first pastor used to tell me, he said, my job up here is to give you the message. My job is to do this, but your job is to encourage me to do it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, it's scary to get up here and look at the faces. And you see people and they got frowns on their face and people are yawning. You know, like you just feel like, oh my God, I just want to crawl and run and go hide. And so therefore, guess what? Your job is to smile. Your job is to like nod, yeah. Your job is to say, amen, Pastor. Oh yeah, that's a good one, Pastor. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the more you do that, I start thinking, oh, it's working. I'm not a failure. It's doing, you know, and you start getting built up. And we build one another up in the most holy faith. That's your job, to sit in the seats. You don't sit there and go. Your job is to sit there and go, yeah, amen, praise God. Yeah, that's right, preacher, tell them. Preach it, preacher. That's your job, to edify. And I'm here to tell you right now, I can't do it unless you edify me. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. It's the most discouraging thing to come up and see empty seats. It's the most discouraging thing to see the seats that people aren't there. It's like, you feel like you got to be kidding me. Our job is to encourage one another. We need encouragers. We need to be Barnabases in this next year. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, don't turn there. I want to turn. Just read this to you. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I'm here to tell you right now, church, that there's people out there, and I know you know them, because I know them. There's people out there that anything comes out of their mouth is negative. They just complain about everything. They're never happy, everything, no matter what it is. I knew a person that complained about a CD. A CD, I'm not kidding you, a CD sung by a child that did an amazing job. And the person, as soon as they heard it, because the words that the child said is that me and my father don't always agree. And the first thing that person did was, I can't believe it. Sitting there doesn't agree with his father. He's only 8. It's a song. It's like no matter what comes out of people's mouths sometimes, it's just, negative, negative, negative. Do you know whose that is? That is the devil's making him so happy. Because that's not anywhere in Scripture for us to do. Our job is to encourage one another. I don't care if Brian, you guys, we had a packed house on Christmas Eve service, Christmas Eve Eve. It was a great, great service. Someone say amen right there who was there. No, I don't want you to say amen because I said amen. I want you to say amen because it's true. Amen? It was a great service. And Brian sang for the first time. And Brian sang, what's that song? What was it? Hello?
Oh, Holy Night.
Oh, Holy Night. You sang it. I mean, Oh Holy Night, that's like one of the most powerful songs in all the songs. That's like, you got to be like Caruso, you know? You got to be like almost as good as me to sing that song. Thank you for that laugh. And I was like, oh no, Brian's going to sing it. I hope he does a good job. Not because he's not, but because of the song. You know, like some people just can't handle the song. He did a great job. He did a great job. But even if he didn't, I would have said, Brian, God bless you, man. You did a great job. Way to go, Brian. Way to go. You know why? Because for someone to break through that ice, to get up there and sing a song like that in front of a whole packed crowd takes a lot of guts. Amen? And for someone to go, yes, you were out of pitch. You were out of tune. You weren't this. I'm here to tell you, Brian did a great job. And I'm here to tell you, church, you're doing a great job by showing up on the first Sunday of 2016. Amen. What an encouragement it is to me to see that there's people out there that want to serve God in 2016. Because as our brother preached about the things that are coming, apostasy is setting in. And you know how it sets in? When you sit in. When you're sitting on your apostasy. Thank you. You're not doing what God wants you to do. Barnabas, let me just keep on moving on. Barnabas was an encourager. He was an edifier. He was a unifier. He was a peacemaker. What did God say about blessed are the peacemakers? They should be called the children of God. Amen? He was the son of the one. He saw the good in everybody. Because of him, the apostles went on with strength. And look what the apostles accomplished because of him. The second thing what Barnabas was, as he was the one that took Apostle Paul. Turn to Acts chapter 9 with me. Acts chapter 9. We're going to stay in the book of Acts. We're just going to look around a little bit. Acts 9, 26. Say amen when you're there. Acts 9, 26. It says, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, look what it says. It says, he wanted to join himself to the disciples. Saul had just gotten saved. He's called an apostle by God, and he wants to go to the brothers and sisters. It says, but they were all afraid of him, and they believed not that he was really a disciple. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe him. Look at this. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. And how that he had spoken to him. And how that he preached boldness at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And it says, and he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. It was Barnabas that got Apostle Paul, who no one would talk to. Nobody would bring in their church. No one even wanted him. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe him. The Apostle Paul. And it was Barnabas that went to him, and he brought him right to the apostles, because the apostles, because of the person that Barnabas was, the apostles would listen to anything Barnabas said. Because Barnabas was such an encouragement. He was such an edifier. He was always up. He was always up, bringing people up, lifting people up. You know what I mean? Like this, and they loved having him around. So when Barnabas brought him in, and he said, listen, he saw Jesus, by the way. God's talked to him, and they all said, Barnabas, as you say so, welcome, Paul. And Paul became one of the apostles because of Barnabas. And think about what Paul accomplished if it wasn't for Barnabas. I'm here to tell you, there's so much more when you touch, just touching the hem of the garment. If Barnabas, he was trusted by almost everybody. Look in Acts chapter 11. Look in Acts 11. Acts 11, verse 22. Say amen when you're there. It says this, it says, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, was at Jerusalem. Look, it says, and they sent forth, who'd they send? Barnabas. They sent Barnabas. Jerusalem, all the apostles, all the main guys, the top guys are all there. Who'd they send? Barnabas. You don't understand the power of this guy. It says here, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as where? Antioch. Look what it says. Who in 23? Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Look what it says about him. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people were added to who? Much people because of Barnabas. Much people because of Barnabas. How did the church grow? Because Barnabas. Because somebody was edifying and comforting, strengthening, saying, I'm so glad you're here today. When you weren't here at 10 o'clock, I was depressed. But you know why? Because I can't go on and have church without you. I mean that. That's how important you are to me. And when you show up Sunday morning looking awesome, I know you care about God. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I can't just tell you how encouragement it was. I was somewhere on 10 o'clock, and I'm like, where's everybody? It's the first of the week. I thought this place would be packed. I thought everybody would be like, I can't wait. I can't wait. It's the first. I'm going to do what God wants me at the beginning of the year. And I'm telling you, I was down. And all of a sudden, slowly you started coming in. I saw Dave and Carol come in. Dave and Carol, I'm just telling you, I know I always embarrass you. But you guys are such an encouragement to me. Invite me to dinner and have some cookies. I'll tell you all about it, okay? And you laugh. I'm serious, will you? Anyway, them two are such an encouragement to me. Soph and Jane, I'll be honest with you. They're my probably closest, dearest friends for the longest time. And when we started this church, they went to another church, of course. They belong to another church. But when they started coming to our church, I don't tell anyone. Don't listen. I did the little jiggy dance. I was like in my room going, oh, yeah. I was all happy because my friend Soph's here. And I cannot tell you what Rich and Donna does. And I cannot tell you how Bob, when you say amen. You know, it stinks when only one person says amen. Even if you don't mean it, just try it. It's okay. You know, and when people show up early for church, and when people, you know, when they got their Bibles with them, when they say amen, when they've been reading and they've been praying, I'm like, woo, glory, I'm ready to go kick the devil's door down and stomp on his head myself, because you encourage me in the Lord. I didn't see you guys a couple weeks. I was like, uh-oh. And then you came in today. I was like, yes. And then you guys, you know, these two little tykes are supposed to be down here getting money and candy. You know what they said? Nah, I'm going to be where Pastor Mike is. They did not say that, but sounds good. It sounds good. But look what it says. Please look. It says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost, of faith. Much people were added unto the church. Look what it says. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to do what? To seek the Saul, to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. See, I can't even begin to tell you what Barnabas did for the church. Why is Antioch so important? Well, let me just give you three things. First of all, Antioch was the place where they first called people Christians. Because it was Antioch where they saw people acting like Christians, happy, edifying one another, loving one another, high-fiving one another, saying, glory, hallelujah, how you guys doing? Woo, better not deserve Jesus. And they were all excited, and people going around, these people are peculiar. They're acting weird. They're acting like that guy Christ. They must be little Christians. That was because of Barnabas. And then Barnabas, you know what Barnabas does? Barnabas doesn't stay to take the lead role. Barnabas says, I know what this church needs. It needs Paul. And he goes all the way, finds Paul, and says, Paul, come back. You got to come to this church. You got to make this church better. And he brings Paul in. And for a whole year, Paul's teaching them. And the power of God's on there. And guess what God did with Antioch? Antioch is the place where we get our King James Bible from. Antioch's the place where the manuscripts came from, where the Textus Receptus came from, where we get our holy, holy anointed Bible. You talk about what Barnabas did, and what he achieved and what he accomplished just by going to Antioch and staying there and edifying the brethren and the church growing and getting Paul in. We not only are they first called Christians there, not only is that where we got our King James Bible from, Antioch, but Antioch did something else too. Look at the next verse. It says, well, we'll read 26 again. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled together themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Look what it says. and they send relief unto the brethren which dwelt at Judah. They send relief. I'm here to tell you that I missed a whole bunch of scriptures, 27. It says, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. And three stood up, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there would be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in Claudius Caesar's. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and they sent it to the elders by who? The hands of Barnabas. There's not one man that they could trust better than Barnabas. There's not one man that they put their faith in more than Barnabas. And I'm here to tell you, he's just a regular Joe. That's us. That's us. All of us can be a Barnabas at any time. At any time. Because you don't need great skills. All you need is to love one another and edify one another. Think about this. As soon as you come in, I just want to tell you, I don't want to embarrass you, but I like your leather jacket. It's nice. Sharp. I want to tell you the truth. Truth. That blue and black goes really good. Soph, you look awesome. You, my young man, that was a good message. And your wife can sing like crazy. Jim, you always got a smile, and your wife's got the softest hair I've ever smelt. Rich, you are one of the handsomest men I ever met. Donna, I love you. Where's my Fran? Fran. I want to get you out of that seat. Can I get you out of that seat? No? The pastor has a Barnabas. His name is Fran. I'm not kidding you. I cannot tell you how many times I've been discouraged and down. How many times I get a letter from Fran. I have him right by my bed. And I open it up and I read it. And I cry and I smile and it helps me go through on another day. Because of that young lady, I am able to do such great things that I think the devil would have probably hindered me to do. All because we get discouraged. We all do. If it wasn't for my Barnabas over there, who I love more than I ever tell you, I can't tell you the nights she got me through, just reading her little letters. I can't tell you how important it is to have Barnabases in the church. How important it is to edify one another and lift up one another and just comfort one another and say nice things to one another. And young lady, Kayla, you're not fat. You're beautiful. She's pregnant. The reason I said that, because this morning she said to Beth, I'm fat. I'm like, no, you're not. Do not, I was joking. I was doing that for a laugh. Do not go around telling women, well, at least you're not fat. Don't do that. Okay, no. My point is that look what he did. He sent relief to all the other churches. Because of Barnabas, Antioch, the church that it became, not only did we get our King James Bible from it, not only was it the first place they called Christians, but they sent relief, comfort to all the other churches that were struggling. He helped them all. I'm telling you what, this guy is amazing. But there's even something else he did. Barnabas, not only was he trusted by everybody, look what Antioch accomplished. Barnabas was responsible. He's responsible for the whole book of Acts. I mean, the whole book of Mark. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 12. Look in verse 25 with me. It says in Acts 12:25, it says, and Barnabas, it's always Barnabas first. You got the Apostle Paul, and when you read most of the time, it's always Barnabas, oh, and Paul. Yet we don't talk about Barnabas that much. It's always, oh, Paul. I'm telling you right now, Paul couldn't have done anything if it wasn't for his Barnabas. Paul would have been a shipwrecked. Paul wouldn't have made it. Paul would have never been able to get through being stoned to death, being imprisoned, if he didn't have Barnabas there to encourage him. You don't know how powerful it is, your encouragement to one another. Look what it says in verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. It was always Barnabas was the first one to go and get someone. He was the first one to reach out and grab someone. He was the first one to see that someone needed encouragement. And he went and got this man named John, who they surnamed Mark. And it was Mark who wrote the book of Mark. But there's a whole lot more. Keep reading in verse chapter 13. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Look what it says. The Holy Ghost said, separate me. Who?
Barnabas.
See? Even the Holy Ghost knew exactly who the right man for the job was. I'm here to tell you, we've all heard of Barnabas. I never realized the power of Barnabas. I never realized the authority of Barnabas. I never realized what he accomplished through others. Because he was always the person in the background. He was just the regular Joe. Look, it says, and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And it says, at the end of verse 4, it says, at the end of verse 4, it says, God in the synagogues of the Jews, look what it says, and they had also John to their ministry. And it goes on in verse 7, it says, which was the deputy of the country of Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for who? Barnabas and Saul. I'm going to tell you, everywhere they went, when somebody, a leader in the town, the chief of police, the mayor, the governor, no matter who it was, they go into a town, Apostle Paul, he was all business. Apostle Paul was all business. I'm just letting you know. He was a man you would sit there and learn from, but he was not, he'll right up tell you saying, you're going to hell. You know, I mean, he'll like tell you straight up, and people go, oh. It was Barnabas that people liked. It was Barnabas that the rulers of the city would call for, not because of Paul. If Barnabas wasn't there, the whole city wouldn't have got saved. It was they called for, get that guy Barnabas. I want to talk to him. Oh, yeah, and that guy that's with him. What's his name, Paul? Oh, yeah, bring him in. And they would, everywhere they went, they asked for Barnabas. Because, and even there was another, a little bit later on, they went into a town and they performed some miracles. And the Holy Spirit even says that he was an apostle. God gave him a title. No man gave it to him. No man picked him. No man said, oh, you can do this, you can't do that. God picked him. Why? Because he was an encouragement to others. Because he was an edifier to others. Because he strengthened others. I'm here to tell you right now, I can only go as far as you encourage me. But you can go way farther than me. And my job for the rest of all I can do this year is I want to be an encouragement to you. I want to try to be an encouragement. Because as a pastor, people said this when I was talking over dinner the other night. And they said, oh, that's you. You're an encourager. I said, I used to be. And they said, no, you still are. I said, no, you don't understand. When you're a pastor, you have to do what he said. You have to reprove and rebuke and exhort and with law, long suffering, and doctrine. So you can't always, see, before you can actually be what you have to be, you got to be torn down to get rid of self so you can be filled up again with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So my job isn't just edifying you. My job is warning you, correcting you, this and that. It's my job to do. But your job, one another, is to edify one another. That's all your job is. Your job is not to exhort. Your job is not to judge. Your job is not to reprove. Your job is not to correct others. Your job is to edify and love one another and encourage one another. That's the church's job. And if you do that in the seats, oh my goodness, this place will be packed out because they're going to meet you. And you'll be the Barnabases. Now, I said there's one other thing that he did that just blows me away. I want you to turn with me, if you would, please. Look in Acts 15. What happened with John Paul? What happened with, I'm going to read this first and we'll go back. Look in chapter 15. Look in verse 36 with me. It says, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in the every city where we had preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Look at verse 38. But Paul thought it not good to take him with him. Why? He departed. Who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Look what it says. And the contention was so sharp between them. That means between Paul and Saul that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark. I'm here to tell you right now, if it wasn't for this right here, this moment right here, we wouldn't have the book of Mark in the Bible. We wouldn't have a whole book in the Bible. Because it was Mark who, it was Barnabas took Mark and they went on their journeys and they're preaching and teaching and they're winning souls. Well, Mark, for whatever reason, he kind of had to go home. He had to leave. And he left. And Saul was mad. Paul was mad. Because Paul was all business. He wasn't, what do you mean you got to go? And that's kind of like I am today. You know, when it talks about a pastor and someone says, oh, I didn't come to church. Why? I didn't feel good. So what? You sat home and didn't feel good? You can sit here and not feel good. Oh, I was depressed. So what? I say, I don't really care. I'll be honest with you. I don't really care. I don't believe in excuses because they're all like armpits. You all have more than one and they all stink, okay? None of them are any good to miss church in my book, and that's why Paul was. So Paul, but Barnabas was different. Barnabas went to him and said, yo, Mark, you know, come with us. And so he did, and he came. But then Mark had to leave. So now they're back at another thing, and Paul says, Barnabas, let's go, and let's go visit the things. He said, okay, John, Mark, come with us. And Paul said, no, I'm not taking him because he left us last time. No, and Paul was mad at him. And Barnabas said, no, we're taking him. And he said, no, we're not. He said, yes, we are. No, we're not. And it got belly bad where they didn't want to argue in front of him. Barnabas said, that's okay, I'll take him. And him and Mark went off their own way. And it encouraged Mark in such a way that Mark ended up being used by God to write the book of Mark. All because of Barnabas, we have the Bible. All because of Barnabas, we have the name Christian. All because of Barnabas, we have the help and the relief of all the churches in the Middle East. All because of Barnabas, we have, this is the best, I think. Save the best for last and we'll finish. Look at me in chapter 15. Let me see where to start. Look in verse 1 and 2, chapter 15. It says, and certain men which came down from Judah taught to the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses. Look what it says. Say it. Ready, church? You cannot be saved. Whoa. You cannot be saved unless you do something. This is what they were being taught in the first century church. And the apostles were okay with it. Because they were all Jews, and they were all used to doing something. And circumcision was a sign from God to Abraham. Circumcision was a doctrine. Circumcision was a commandment. Everyone had to be circumcised, right? And here all of a sudden now they're saying, Jesus, and all the Gentiles are getting saved. And they're like, Jesus, yeah, but you got to be circumcised or you cannot be saved. Well, Apostle Paul and Barnabas hear about this. Let's see what Barnabas does. And it says, in verse 22, in verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension or disputation with them, they determined, look at this, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused, look what they caused, look everywhere he goes, great joy unto all the brethren. Look as you would in verse 5. It says, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And guess who's right there when they're saying it? All the apostles. It said, and the apostles and the elders came together to do what? To consider the matter. The apostles came together to consider it. See, up to this point, the apostles were on board with that. Up to this point, the apostles were on board because they're all Jews. With, yeah, Jesus, of course, grace, but you have to be circumcised. You can't even go in the temple unless you're cleansed. You can't even do this unless you do this. You can't do that. So just think about how this changes everything. And they go in there, and the apostles now said, let's consider this. And look what happens. This amazes me. And it says here in verse 7, it says, and when there had been much disputing. Now think about that. They're all disputing back and forth. They're yelling at each other. They're kind of, no, this. Oh, you got it. And they're quoting scriptures, and there's not a whole lot getting on. And it says, and Peter rose up unto them and said, men and brethren, you know how. And he goes on and he says his little spiel. But they're all still, you know, kind of getting loud and not listening. But I want you to look at this one thing. Look in verse 11. It says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Now, they're still talking and murmuring. This is Peter trying to get across, and no one's listening to him. Think about that. Peter, no one's really listening. Look at the next verse. Verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas. Wow. Peter? Nah, he's a hothead. Paul? We don't even really like the guy. John? He's too nice. Matthew? Where is he? Bartholomew? I think he's getting lunch. But they're all arguing. As soon as Barnabas goes, excuse me, everyone shut up. Everyone said, Barnabas, I love that guy. I love that guy. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for him, I still wouldn't be in the church. If it wasn't for him, every person that's been any length into Christianity can look back on that one person. If it wasn't for that person, I don't know where I'd be today. There's always a person that God sends in your way. There's always a person that God sends in your path that just keeps you going. If it wasn't for that one person, I don't know where I'd be today. And they all gave silence to Barnabas. And then Barnabas says what he says. And then James gets up and says, men and brethren, he's right. He's right. We shouldn't put anything more on the Gentiles. And James, being the leader at the time, now that it's quiet, now that people are listening and they listen to Barnabas, now James gets up and says, this is what we'll do. And he makes a whole new doctrine. And it's called the doctrine of grace. That it's not by the law of works, not by works that we're saved. It's by the total grace of Christ. It's by the total grace, the faith in Jesus Christ alone. By grace alone, through Christ alone. Amen? Amen. And we have that doctrine today, one of those greatest doctrines in all the world, doctrine of grace, because of Barnabas. What a man. I'm here to tell you, the Lord's trying to tell us something today. He's trying to tell us it was Barnabas that brought peace and harmony in the church. It was Barnabas that brought unity in the church. You're either going to be a Barnabas or you're going to be an Agabus or you're going to be a Complainopus. He's in there too. Or Murmurus, he's in there too. Or Grumpus, Grumpus is always in there. Which one you decide to be in 2016 is totally up to you. I want to be Barnabas. He's just a regular Joe. And God just used him like you would never believe. You think about what the church accomplished because of him. You think about the people that he encouraged. You think about the miracles that he did. The Bible says he did miracles. All because, I believe this with all my heart, this church can be an amazing church like the church in Antioch if we'll just start being Barnabases and start encouraging one another. The apostles were encouraged. Paul was encouraged. The Antioch, the manuscripts, the called Christians there. Mark wrote the Bible. The major doctrine of Christ. He kept the church together. He kept unity, helping others, encouragement. We'll do miracles. Brother Joseph, would you please come on up here? Just a regular old Joe right there. What God can do with that young man, 15 years old. When is your birthday? How long are you going to be 15?
January.
Oh, it's coming up. Amen. He's going to be 16. Someone has to buy him a car.
Amen.
Hot Wheels, but a car. As Joseph is going to be a blessing to us, let's be a blessing to the Lord and stand, please. And every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around. This is the time to get alone with God. You know how you change from one direction to the next? You repent. You know what that means? You turn away. You turn away from being a grump. You turn away from being a pessimist. You turn away from being someone who's always grumbling and complaining. As music plays, if God has spoken to you in any way, why don't you leave your seat right now? Why don't you come out and be an encouragement to the Holy Spirit? Why don't you let God know that he's talking, that God's moving? Why don't you let the Holy Spirit of God know that you hear him? Why don't you move? Why don't you get out of your seats and out of your comfort zones and start to do something that you know is the right thing to do? Encourage yourself in the Lord, amen? Encourage one another in the Lord. Be there for your church members. Be there in every service, the doors open. Be there. Encourage one another. Help one another. As the music plays and the people come to the altar and pray, why don't you right now in your seats, why don't you now just ask God to forgive you? Just say, Lord, forgive me for not being an encouragement as I ought to be. Lord, forgive me for not being a Barnabas. Forgive me for not coming alongside others when they need it the most. I'm too worried about my own problems. Too worried about my own fears. Too worried about my own trials and troubles. Lord, I ask you now, make me a Barnabas. Give me the spirit of edification. Help me to be a comfort to others. Help me to edify one another, be there for one another, and just think what we can accomplish together. Barnabas accomplished so much, and yet he's always in the background. He doesn't care about the forefront. He doesn't care about being first. He just cares about being a blessing to others. Father, thank you for Barnabas. When we get to heaven, I can't wait to hug him. I can't wait to thank him. Right now, we're asking you, I'm asking you, help me to be a Barnabas. Help me be a son of consolation. Help me be a comforter, an edifier, a helper. Help me, Lord, to help others, I pray. Father, please protect our church. Bless it. Keep the devil away from it. I pray for those that are not here today, for whatever reason it is, you put upon their hearts and let them know that when they're not here, we can't be encouraged by them. So I pray, help us all to be faithful and to be mindful and do exactly what it is you want us to do. And we'll watch our church grow and reach so many people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.